You know, most folks would be unfamiliar with what I call black gay lingo, black gay vernacular, although it is very, very much present in popular culture. So Beyonce in her songs has Snap for the Kids or Work or Take a Seat or Get Your Life, throwing shade. There's many, many examples in popular culture and kind of general conversation that incorporates black gay lingo. I'm not quite sure where it grew out of, other than to say that much of it comes from the house ball community, which started primarily in the 70s and 80s in New York City, which was black and Latino, primarily gay men and trans women who come together and have something called balls, which are akin to fashion shows, akin to talent shows. And these folks get together different places in Harlem and created their own kind of community. And from that community grew a lingo.
And does that go on here in Louisville?
I actually was one of the founders. Me and several of my friends founded the Kentucky version of the ballroom scene back in the early 2000s. And now that scene has flourished to include several hundred people. There are balls every month. Folks come from New York City, Atlanta, all over the country, come to participate in our local ballroom scene. So that's something I'm very, very proud of.
How many, and you've described houses, what is a house and how many do we have here in Louisville as far as black gay ballroom culture is concerned?
So to describe a house is similar to how the hippies had families. Like black folks, we all have god cousins, play mamas, a church auntie. So it's very, very similar to that situation where this is a chosen family. You know, I'm known as a father. I have many, many, quote, gay kids. And so these are people who have chosen me and look up to me for different reasons. I have information to share about what it means to grow up in the LGBT community. I have knowledge to share. So you have mothers and fathers, which are primarily older, more experienced, more well-known members of the community. You have kids in the house. You have aunties and uncles. And so houses are just gay chosen families to look out for one another. You certainly have the ball aspect where I help my kids prepare for a ball. I teach them about the ballroom scene. But beyond that, it also means that if you have nowhere to go for Thanksgiving, you can come to my house. Or if you want to go get tested for HIV, I'll go with you. We probably have the better of a dozen or so houses in Louisville.
Some folks I've run into have often said fairness is a white thing. What are the issues facing African-American LGBT residents, whether political or social?
Well, yeah, and to that note, fairness is an ordinance that protects from employment discrimination, housing discrimination, public accommodation discrimination, when oftentimes a lot of black gay people just can't get a job, period. If you're a black trans woman, what does it matter to you that you can't get fired for being LGBT when you can't get a job to begin with? Or what does it mean that you can't be denied an apartment because you're LGBT when you can't afford an apartment to begin with? And so to that end, yes, issues that affect folks on a day-to-day, more imminent basis, for example, HIV prevention, for example, especially for the trans population, access to jobs, equality jobs. There is no gathering place. There are no organizations that bring us together outside of nightclubs and pageants and balls to talk about our issues and help us to come to some kind of self-realizations.
Is it at the end of the day, race is still the defining issue when you first meet someone, because that's the first thing you see?
It absolutely is. Much in the same way that I'm perceived a certain way because of my gender presentation. So I understand that if I walk into a group of women, they don't know if I'm a feminist. They don't know if I'm sexist. They don't know if I love women or if I hate women. So in the same regards, when I walk into a space, I'm seen as black. And whatever that conjures up in your mind is going to dictate how you interact with me. So yeah, at the end of the day, for black people, the color of our skin is the predominant factor. And the sad part about it is that you have black folks in our community who somehow think that they are different from the rest of us. They went to better schools. They went to better neighborhoods. They speak better than us. Their diction is better. They don't do the things we do. They don't eat the foods that we eat. And somehow they're different. And I remember when I faced the situation with Woody's nightclub several years ago, where the bar owner went on a racial tirade against me and called me the N-word and banned me from his nightclub. I remember there were black folks who said, well, you guys must have been doing something wrong. You guys must have been causing some kind of trouble. And there was one guy in particular who said that to me when that situation first went down. And you know what? But this owner's always been a great person towards me. And then I remember several months later, that same person came back to me and said, you know what? I was in that nightclub 2 nights ago, and the owner lost his mind on me and called me the N-word. And I didn't realize at the time. You know, so there are a lot of black folks who don't realize, no matter where you live, no matter how you self-identify, the fact of the matter is you're black. And at the end of the day, that's all you are to a lot of people.